I'm going to quickly go through this today. At least try quickly to go through this today. But how many know that we were created today for God's family? We're going to talk about that. We were created for God's family. You were formed. You were created for God's family. Do you know that? That's the reason you were created, to be a part of God's family. Let's see what Scripture says about this statement. Hebrews 2:10 says it like this. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children to share His glory. That's what it says. God made all things for His glory. He wanted to have many children to share His glory. God's plan is always to have a big family. God's plan from the very beginning of creation, long before creation ever took place, God in His heart knew that He wanted to have a family. He longed, that's kind of the central theme of who we are. We have this longing to have family, don't we? There's this longing in our heart to have closeness of family. And God made us to be a part of His family. Ephesians 1:5 says it like this. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. So at the very beginning, God always wanted to have a family, and His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family. Isn't that a cool thing to know that God wants you, that God formed you and He created you to be a part of His family, that you are no accident today, no matter what your parents may have told you, no matter what someone may have told you, you were no accident. God formed you and He chose you to be a part of His family. And He has adopted every one of us today, that He is longing to adopt us into His family. You want to know what this book is about? The Bible? It's all about being a part of God's family. The scripture in itself is all about being a part of God's family. It's instructions on how God wants His family to live, how He wants His family to serve. It's instructions on how He wants His family to behave, how He wants His family to spend eternity. This book is all about God's family and His plan for God's family. And all along, from the very creation, God has formed you and I to be a part of His family. It's always been God's intent that we are adopted of Him. Look what 1 Peter 2:17 says. It says, love your spiritual family. Love your spiritual family. Isn't that amazing? That we're commanded of God, we're commanded by Scripture to love our spiritual family. Why do we do that? Because when we love, first of all, we become like Him, don't we? How many know that it's easy to love those who do good to you, but it's hard sometimes to love family? family can be some of the hardest people to love. I can name some family members in my life that, man, it was hard to love. You got that crazy aunt or uncle or cousin. You know what I'm talking about. We've all got them there. And there's some people that sometimes are really close to us that are hard to love. And so when we show the love, number one, we're becoming most like God. And second, God wants His kids to get along. Isn't that the heartbeat of every parent? Can you just get along? Please. 5 minutes. I walk out of the room. Can you please get along? So God wants you to love your spiritual family, learning to get along with Him. And third, He wants you to practice this for eternity because we're going to spend eternity together. It's not about just little cosmo, right now, this little split vapor of a second. It's about eternity. So God says, I'm preparing this family for eternity. You see, we got to begin to think like what God's thinking about us. His plan for His family is not just for today, not just for your short breath of a life that will just disappear, but His plan for the eternity. He's building His family for eternity. Many of us, we plan out our kids. We think about what school they're going to go to. We move to a school district we want to be involved in. And we talk to them about the importance of studies, and we get them prepared to have a job as they get older, and we train them how to work and be responsible. We plan for college, and we save for college funds, and we do all this planning. We want to help them choose a career, and we do all this planning because we want to help them along the way. See, God's got all this plan for you and I. He wants to adopt us in His family, and His adoption and His plan is not just for a college fund. His plan is just not for an education. His plan is for eternity. He's wanting to get us ready, his family ready for eternity. So he's got an eternal plan for you and I, and that's to be a part of his extended family. You know, this word fellowship today, I want to talk about this word for spiritual family is called fellowship. Loving your spiritual family is called fellowship. Loving your spiritual family is called fellowship. For most people, fellowship is just a shallow, guarded, brief second. For most of us, fellowship is just a, you know, coming and, hey, how's it going? Yeah, it was good. Are Chiefs going to win one today? No, they're not going to win again. Okay, we know that. So we have this conversation. We walk out the door. Did we really fellowship one with another? No, this is not really fellowship. This is just kind of chewing the fat. We come and worship together, and we'll shake a few hands, and we'll talk about the game on Friday night as we leave or something that happens. But, you know, we're not really truly fellowshipping. We're kind of mingling. We're kind of visiting. But we don't really see true fellowship taking place, because true fellowship is about loving the spiritual family. It's about loving the family. This is where true fellowship comes in. Look what it says. Fellowship is loving God's family. Fellowship is loving God's family. Bible says in 1 John 4:21 says, the person who loves God must also love other believers. The person who loves God must also love other believers. 1 Timothy 3 says, I am writing so that you will know how to live in the family of God. And that family is the church. The Bible says church is a family. Your spiritual family. That's what God's talking about, a spiritual family. This is what he's talking about, is your family, your spiritual family. I'm writing so you'll know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church. And so we have a spiritual family that we belong to. We have a spiritual family that God is calling us to be a part of. It's always been God's plan. How many times do we say today, are you going to church today? How many said that today? Are you going to church, or I'm going to church today? Anybody say that statement today? We use that a lot, don't we? I'm going to church. But how many know we're not really going to church? We're going to a worship service. Because we are the church. We are the church. The church is the family. That's what it says right here. I'm writing you how to live in the family of God. That family is the church. The church is the family of God. The church is not a building. That's a structure. The service is not the church. The service is a place for the family of God to come and to worship together, to assemble together, a place to come and connect. We many times say, well, I'm going to church. No, we are the church. Let's don't ever forget that we are the church, and we love people, and the building is just the building. Whether we're meeting at the Holiday Inn, we're meeting here, or we have a mega structure somewhere, it's still just the building. It's just still an assembly place for us to meet and to do ministry out of. But the church is always, and always has been, and always will be, about people, about the family. We are the family of God. And God has called us to love each other and to serve each other. This is what true fellowship is about. It's about learning to love each other and the different levels. And the Bible's very clear about this, about how we belong. And, you know, this is a thing that is such an important part of being a Christian, is learning these levels of fellowship in our life that God has called us to. Because many of us, we never get past the first level or two. And God has always designed for us to go deeper in our fellowship with one another. What is our fellowship? Our deeper in our love one for another. Deeper in our way that we serve one another. So today I want to talk to you about four levels of this fellowship. Four levels of this fellowship that God has called every believer to. The first level I want to talk to you about is a very simple, basic level. It's a simple level of choosing to belong. Your first thing is you choose to belong. You choose to belong to the body of Christ. You choose to belong, to get connected. God wants you to identify with a family. He doesn't want you to say, this week I'll go over here. This week I'll go to this church. This week I'll go to that church. This week I'll go over here. No, God wants you to connect to a family. Is there something wrong with visiting other churches? No, there's nothing wrong with visiting other churches. But God wants you to connect to a family, a place to call home. He has always designed for us to connect and have connection with each other and to love each other. You know, there's lots of good churches in the four-state area, hundreds of good churches in this area. We're not in competition with any of them. And believe me, I want you, if you're here today, I want you to be connected here. But if you can't be connected here, go somewhere where you can, because you have got to be connected. You need to be somewhere where you can be connected. It's important that we are connected to a home church, not a home church, but a home family. Right, you got it. Some of you are about ready to correct me. I caught myself there. We got to be connected to a body of believers. God has always designed for us to choose to belong. We choose to belong and be a part of God's family. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:19. You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Every Christian belongs where? In God's family, in God's household. The Christian life is not about just believing. It's not enough just to believe. You got to belong. How many people all the time, I believe, but do you belong? I run into people all the time, well, Pastor, I believe. I'm great, but do you belong? Because if you truly believe, you know that you need to belong to a family of God. You need to get connected to a family. It's about connecting with relationships, because that's what's going to help you grow. That's what's going to help you unfold the plan that God has for your life. It's not just believing, it's a matter of belonging. You know, I have people all the time that say, Pastor, I believe, but I don't believe in being a part of just one church. And how can I say this very kindly? My mom always taught me, if you can't say something nice, don't say something at all. But I've got to preach, so there's got to be a way to say this, you know. I've heard people say this before, Pastor, I believe in God, and I like going to church. I just don't believe I should go to one particular church. That makes as much sense as saying, I want to play in the NFL, but I don't want to be a part of one team. That makes as much sense as saying, I want to play the tuba, but I don't want to be a part of an orchestra. I mean, it makes no sense at all. It makes as much sense as saying, I want to be in the army, but I don't want to belong to any particular branch. I mean, it makes no sense, does it? It makes no sense. You got to belong to something. You got to put some roots down somewhere and be a part and begin to serve, because the Christian walk is all about serving. It's all about serving each other, loving each other. And so you got to choose to say, I belong. Now, most of you here today, 99% of you, you're here. You've already done that. That's why you're here. So I'm not stepping on anybody's toes here today, unless you're just kind of floating it around. But today, listen, we've got to learn to belong. How do we do that? We identify with a particular body of believers. We have a public confession of our faith, and we do that through what? Through water baptism. You know, that's a way that we stand up and say that, hey, I belong to the body of Christ. I do that. It's through water baptism. I want to make sure I don't skip any scripture here. Romans 12:5 says, in Christ, we are many from one body. Each member belongs to the others. This is very important. It calls the church Christ's body and says that we belong. We belong to the body. We belong. Each member has an important role to play. If you go to church and say, I like the church, but I don't like this particular church over here. How many of that's not a good statement? That's like me coming up to you, sir, and say, sir, I like you, but your wife, I can't stand. Oh, you got a pretty face, but I hate your body. What kind of love is that, you know? You're going to get it right across the, you know. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. Let me say again, God calls the church the bride of Christ. Now listen, just because you're not connected to another group of believers does not give you no excuse to put down the other group of believers across town. Oh, he's preaching now. That's right. Well, this church over here, you know what they do over there? I don't agree. Well, great. You don't have to agree with it. That's why you can be connected to a church that you agree with. But don't allow yourself to go and say, well, I like this church over here, but this church over here, they're ugly. Would you stand for somebody to come up and say, I like this kid here, but this kid over here, man, woohoo, you know, this kid over here, they're ugly. But your other kid, they're good looking. This kid over here, he's ugly. What would you do? You'd be like, talking about my kids that way? I thank God many times, that's the way he looks at us. He wants to come up and say, what are you doing? Oh, you like this kid, but you don't like this kid. Just because you don't believe the way they believe across town. Because you may have a theological difference, or a worship style difference, or a dress difference. I mean, that's why we have lots of choices, and you can connect to a body where you feel comfortable doing. That's why we try to be different, so we can have an avenue for people to connect to a body who's looking for somewhere like we have to offer today. But listen, let's make sure we never allow that spirit to come in here. Now, if I hear you talking bad about another church, and I'm going to call you on it. We don't have that problem. If I did hear you, I'd tell you real fast. Hey, let's pray for that church. Let's pray for them. That's God's body. That's my brother. That's my sister. Well, they don't worship the way we do. You let God judge them and let you love them. All right, there we go. I'll get off that soapbox. And symbol of belonging to God's body is what? It's through baptism. He's always designed that way. This is what it says in Romans. In 1 Corinthians 12:13. This is what we proclaim in the word and action. We were baptized, each of us now part of his resurrection body. Through baptism, we're now part of what? The body. What is the body? The church. We just found that out in scripture. He says the body of Christ is the church. Each of us now is a part of his resurrection body. That's the church, okay? That is what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Water baptism does not save you, but it becomes a public confession. You know what? I belong to the body of Christ. Water baptism says, you know what? I belong. I am not ashamed to be a Christian. And today, if you have not been baptized, see me. Talk to me, man. We'll baptize you. If we have some people when we baptize, we'll fill it up just for you. That doesn't make a big difference. If you want to be baptized today and you had not been baptized, what an exciting time. Well, I was baptized when I was a kid, Pastor. But did you decide it or did someone decide it for you? I mean, have you ever on your own stood up and said, you know what? I belong to the body of Christ. I belong. And I'm making a public confession. So we had to choose to belong. Let's quickly go on to the second point here. The second level is friendship. Learning to share. Learning to share. He wants us to learn to share. I call this level friendship because God wants you to have friends. He wants you to have relationships. He wants you to choose to belong. Then he wants you to take it to the next level of developing friendships. He said from the very beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. Of course, at the time, he was talking about a spouse, but it goes beyond spouse. Like it has to do with relationship. God has always designed from the garden on that we have a relationship one with another. That's always been his plan, that we share in our lives. Acts 2:44 says all the believers met together constantly. This is talking about the New Testament church. All the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. Look what they did. Two things they did. They build deep friendships in life as opening up and meeting together and sharing. Sharing and meeting together. Sharing and meeting together. Meeting together and sharing. Sharing, I mean, they go hand in hand. Those two things is what the New Testament church has always been founded on. And God gave me this example, and this really dropped this into my heart this week as I was preparing this message. And I was thinking about this in our own life. I mean, we talk about this all the time, about how we are naturally selfish people, aren't we? Aren't we just naturally selfish people? I mean, for the time we're kids, we talk about it. It's mine, mine, mine. That's the first word we know. It's mine. No and mine. And as parents, those of you who have children today, you know what I'm talking about. What joy is it when that kid first reaches that age? Now, some of them takes a while. Some of them hit there faster. That first age when you have people over the house and a kid their own age comes up and wants to play with their toy, what usually happens? No! That's mine! He wants to play with my toy. That's my toy. Well, you haven't played with that toy for 2 years. I don't care. It's mine. So what happens that first time that you're there and that kid goes, would you like to play with this? I'll share. What do you do? You're like, I can't believe it's a miracle. My kid is finally growing up. My kid is maturing. My kid is understanding what it means to share. Now you know where I'm going. I believe God looks at us as a mark of spiritual maturity is, can we share? When you learn to share as a Christian, it's a mark of spiritual maturity. I think that's a good measuring stick, isn't it? What a great measuring stick that we can measure and say, am I really maturing as a Christian? Have I learned to really share? Share who I am, share what I have, share my problems, share my testimony. Learning to share. This is the very foundation of Christianity, that God wants us to learn to share. We get connected and belong. Then we learn to share. The Bible mentions all kinds of things we're to share, but let me give you quickly, real three of them, real fast. We're to share our experiences. That's what he says. We're to share our experiences. He says, people learn from one another, just as iron sharpens iron. We know this, that we share one with another. It's a mark of maturity when people learn to share one with another. You know what? I can grow very fast by learning to learn from other people's mistakes. You know, I can say, Pastor Matt, run through that wall right there. And he run, hit that wall, bounce off, and get up and run and hit it again, bounce off, and get up and run, and hit it again, and bounce off. And his eyes swollen up, and he's got a bloody nose, and he's limping. And I can say this, you know what? I can learn from Pastor Matt. I better use the door. Because if I run into that wall, I'm going to be hurt. And so wisdom says, all right, use the door. Don't run through the wall. And so today, we can learn from each other. Sharing through experiences helps us have a fast track to maturity. If we're in a small group of people and we're sharing, what do? You have people there who can say, honey, this is what I went through. This is some mistakes I made. This is some of the things that caused my family pain. This is some things that I went through and helped me and helped my family, helped my spouse, helped my children. As we share, I look at you and I take your experience and I take your pain and I take your blessing and I take your wisdom and I take what you went through and I take it and I put it all right here and I learn and I have a fast track to maturity because I'm learning from your mistakes. I'm learning through fellowship with you. I'm learning through sharing with you. I don't have to go out and make all the same mistakes that you made if I can learn from your mistake. And so learning to share, God has always designed for us to share. He also wants us to share what? To share our homes. It's very clear. What a good time to share this on our home group Sunday, right? 1 Peter 4:9, open your homes to each other. That's what it says. I mean, the Bible is very clear. Throughout Scripture, we see several times where God talks about us opening up our homes. Open up your homes to each other. Why does God say that? Because God knows this. He knows that true fellowship is not going to happen in the crowd. True fellowship is not going to happen in the crowd. Oh, we mingle and we talk and we meet. And we may plan the fellowship later, but true fellowship doesn't happen in the crowd. True fellowship, we really love on each other, man, and get to know each other. It's going to happen in a smaller setting. It's going to happen when you come together in a small group like you will tonight, where you can talk to each other and learn from each other and share what's going on. God has always designed for us to share our experiences and share our homes. And the Bible says he wants us to share our problems. Galatians 6:2, share each other's troubles and problems. You are not meant to go through life alone. You're never meant to carry your problems alone. He says to carry each other's burdens. Share each other's burdens and problems. How many know that when you share joy with people and they get excited about you, what happens? Man, that makes it exciting. You double the joy. When you share your joy in your group, hey, look, that's what God did for me this week. Or this is what happened. And they get excited for you. You just multiplied your joy. And when you come into your group and you say, you know what? I'm carrying this big pain. I'm carrying this big burden. And I share it with them. And I say, you know what? I'll help you carry it. I'll pray for you. I'll support you. My burden just got lighter because I divided it up. And I have friends who are helping me. Seeing why it's important to share. God has always designed, and a mature person, a mature Christian will learn to share. They share, they open up their home, they open up their experiences, they open up their pain, they open up. They say, man, I need people around me. That's a mark of maturity. It says, my kids learn to share. God expects you and I to learn to share our things, our heart, our problems, our praises, our joys, our trials. He is always long and made for his family to share with each other. I mean, you talk about joy as a parent. That day your kids finally get to that mature process where they can share their things. My house is not always there yet, okay? I'll be honest. We're not there yet. My kids are still, it's fine, and I don't want to share it. Oh, if you don't share, it's going to be taken away. Okay. We're still working on that. But I have some kids that are learning that. And as they're getting older and they're sharing their things, maybe reluctantly, but they're sharing them anyway. As a parent, I think they're maturing It brings me joy. That's the way God looks at us. He's wanting us to mature, learn to share what he's given us. Some of you here today, maybe you've tried to meet in a group before and it didn't work out for you. Pastor, I've tried going to a home group. It just didn't work out. Well, let me say this today. If you went out to eat today and you had bad service and you had bad food, are you going to stop going out to eat? What are you going to do? You're going to try another restaurant. Did you walk into the first house you ever saw and buy it? No, you shopped around and looked at a house that you really felt. It's the same way. It's like, continue. If you had a bad experience and maybe you didn't fit in the group you tried, I say try another group. Find a group to get involved. Share your life. Open up your life. Quickly, let me finish with these last two things. The third level is called partnership. God's designed for us to be partners with him. As that's me doing my part in God's family. That family of God needs you. Listen, the family of God needs you. There comes a point of choosing to belong, then we share, and then we learn, you know what? I'm going to do my part. I'm going to chip in. I'm going to serve. I'm going to let God use me. My responsibilities. My family, we have a big family, and we've all got to learn to chip in. And as children get older, they get more responsibilities. As the older they get, the more responsible they get for taking care of the household. I don't have my 3-year-old out mowing the yard. It would be nice, but they can't do that yet, okay? But as they get older, my kids get older, they're going to be pushing that mower. And that's going to be great. That's free labor for dad. No, that's not free labor. But you know what I'm talking about. As they get older, we share responsibilities in what happens in our family. The same way, as we mature in Christ, God wants us to share in the responsibilities of building the kingdom of God. You belong, you get connected, you open up your life and you share, and then you carry and say, you know what, I'm partnering. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my part. I'm not a freeloader no longer. I'm not going to be a freeloader. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to serve because God has blessed me with so much. It's an awesome thing when your kids go to college and they come back home and go, I get it now. I tried living on my own. Thank you, Mom. Oh, thank you for all those cooked dinners. Thank you for all that laundry. Thank you, Dad, for all the free meals. Thank you, Dad, for the gas card. Thank you, Dad, for the insurance. Kids, all of a sudden, it's like, boom, light goes on, doesn't it? And that's the place of maturity God wants us to be at. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. I want to contribute. You know, I was happy to pay that $100 a month to my dad when I moved back home. And so, Dad, let me chip in a little money here. Let me chip in. I was happy because I knew it was going to cost me a lot more money to live on my own. So I was going to take the initiative and pay a little money up front so he wouldn't kick me out. It's a revelation we have, and it's a partnership. You know, 58 times, and this is a little word study. I challenge you, those of you who like to do word studies, look us up this week. The Bible uses the phrase one another 58 times in the Bible, in the New Testament alone. Look it up this week and see all the things that God has called us to partner with. One another. We're to serve one another. We're to pray one for another. We're to greet one another. We're to correct one another. We're to support one another. We're to love one another. I mean, the Bible's full of these one another statements of you and I. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are partners working together for God. This koinonia partnership that God has designed for us to be in part of. Ephesians 4:16, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. And the last point today I want to get to as we close is this point right here, number 4. The deepest level of fellowship is this right here, kinship. Loving believers like family. This is not a new word. We use kin, closest to kin. You know, and we're talking about the people we're kin to. It's the family members we're talking about. When someone wants to talk to someone for an emergency and they have a betrothal looking for you, what are they going to say? We want the next of kin. We want that's the person that's really close to you. That word kinship is a word that's used for somebody who's really close to you, some of the closest family members you have. And today we know this is the level that God is calling you and I to. It's just loving believers like family. Acts 2:42 says it like this. They were like family. And they were worshiping the Lord right there. Yeah, I don't even know where that came from. Hallelujah, Lord. You're speaking to us right now. We just like family. It's like Concert, Lord, just coming over, all of us. Okay. Romans 12:10 says it like this. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Today we know this, that God has always designed you and I to love each other like family. And can I tell you this, as someone who's been a Christian for a long time now, and I'm growing and maturing, I can tell you the closest people in my life is not necessarily my blood family. It's my Christian family. There's people that are here today that I'm closer to than I am my own family. Why is that? Partly because my family lives out of town. Other things that happen. But there's just something about connecting and belonging to people that you grow together and you get close to. I mean, I would trust some of them with anything I have in my life. My kids, my deepest secrets, fears. I would trust them above anybody. I would trust my family. It's this kinship that God has placed in our hearts. And it's this level he's wanting you to belong to share in, to serve and love each other. And he wants you to get to this place where you love believers like family, this kinship, where we partner and say, all right, you know what? We become so close. We're like family. We're like family. And what does family do? Family sticks together no matter what, don't they? Family's together no matter what. We love each other. That's what the Bible says. You love the church like family. What's that mean? Do I always agree with my family? No. I disagree with my family a lot. Does it mean sometimes we argue? Yeah, sometimes we argue. But you know what? Bottom line is we're family, and we're going to stick it out. I don't know how many times I had to pull my five kids in together and say, all right, we're family. You don't let anybody disrupt this family. You don't let anybody pick on one of your brothers and sisters. If somebody's picking on your brother and sister, you better all five jump in because we're family. I better not ever catch you double-teaming with somebody else. I'm talking about one of your brothers. We are family. And we stick together. Yeah, we may fight like cats and dogs when we're home. And you guys may wrestle when you're here, but you better not let anybody else do that to your brother or sister. You better be protected. And we teach this family thing, you know, because we're family. You know what? Look around you today, and I say this to you, we are family. And we may not always agree on every little thing, but you know what? We're going to protect each other. We're going to stand for each other. We're going to support each other. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to love each other. We're going to help each other. We're going to grow each other. We're going to partner with each other. We're going to share with each other. Because God has always designed from the very beginning that we be a part of the family. I challenge you with this closing statement today. If you're not involved in a small group, you are missing out. You are missing out on the plan that God has for you and your family. God has always designed that we get out of the four walls and fellowship out of our homes, opening up our homes, opening up our lives. Some of our groups are getting so full we're going to have to close them off. We're getting ready to have to multiply those groups out. That's a great thing. We need more groups to form. That's a good thing. Our church is growing. We need you, not only just to belong, but God has not called you just to belong. He's called you to take a step. And serving Christ, it means you loving his family. It means sharing your life. It means partnering. It means developing kinship with people. There's people here, man, I know if I had something terrible happen to me, I could call just like that. And they'd be praying for me. They'd be there helping me no matter what it was I needed. They'd be there helping me no matter what. Because we have developed that kinship that's come over time. You can't replace that. That's why you got to belong. That's why you got to connect. That's why you got to build relationships. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today, Lord. Your word is so instructive to us on your plans for our lives to be a part of the family of God, to be connected to a local body, and to grow in that connection, to grow in our family, to grow in our fellowship. You've got different levels that we're to be in. You've got different places you want us to go. You never designed for us just to be immature people coming all the time. But you designed for us to mature process along the way. With every head bowed, I just want to ask you this question. I want to make sure it's a question that I ask almost every Sunday. If you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about being a part of the family of God. Well, I can just honestly say today, Pastor, I'm not a part of the family of God. I never asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Or maybe I've asked Jesus Christ in my heart before, but it's been a long time ago and I have not lived for him at all. And today I want to recommit my life to him. I want to be a part of the family of God. First thing I want to do is just be a part of the family. I want to take that first step of belonging. I want to accept Jesus Christ into my heart today. I will not embarrass you in any way. We're not about embarrassing anybody here. We won't do that to you. No one's looking at me. But if you're here today, you say, before I leave today, Pastor, I want to make sure everything's right with God. Can you just raise your hand and say it to me? I want to make sure I give you that chance. Raise it high so I can see it, guys. I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody. Great, then we're all family here today. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. And as we close out the service today, I'm going to invite you and let you know, man, we got to connect. So I want you to connect with people. Can you just grab a hand, the person next to you? Matter of fact, let's just stretch across the aisle. You guys just kind of step in across the aisle, grab a hand, the person next to you. Now turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. Now turn to the other person and say, and you need me. Anybody want to hold my hand? Nobody want to hold my hand? I'm looking around. I'm all alone. Anybody want to hold my hand? Come here, Mike. Come hold my hand. Okay. Mike and Tanya, you can come up here. Here we go. Bring that chain this way. Here we go. Let's do this. We are the world. No, I'm playing. There's something about being connected. Isn't it funny that we're all connected through here this morning? For a simple touch. I'm connected to Mike and Tanya. Boom, boom, boom. We're connected. We need each other. This is what the body of Christ is. This, you're touching the church. You're touching the church. The church is never going to be a building. No matter how big a building God gives us or where we go, who knows? We might get kicked out next week and maybe meeting somewhere else. We don't never know what's going to happen in the future. But the church is about this building. Now, don't panic. That was just a statement, okay? There's something going on. There's nothing going on. We're doing fine. We're doing good. But the church is always about people. It's always about people. And God has always called us to connect and to grow and to serve each other, and to love people. That's what it's about. Let's pray this prayer. Father, today, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our brothers and sisters are here today. God, this is the church. And I thank you for my church family. I thank you for people that I belong to, and I can share with, and I can grow with. I can use my gifts and serve. I can partner with. And I can grow in that last level of kinship that I know that I'm close to them no matter what. I'm going to support them. They're going to support me. I'm going to learn from them. They're going to learn from me. And God, I pray that as we do that, God, we're able to reach out and bring other people and connect them to the family of God. Serving, opening up our homes to each other. Opening up our homes to people who don't come to the family. And inviting them in that we can connect them to the family of God. Well, I pray that every one of us will take this role of family, of adoption, through your son, Jesus Christ. It's so serious that, God, you are wanting us to mature in our walk with you. And just as a parent looks at their child and takes joy in maturing, God, you look at this family and you take joy as we mature as Christians. You take joy as we mature as servants of God, as we learn to share of our lives, share the things you've given us, share the things you taught us. And God, I pray that we'll go forth with a sharing attitude, with a caring attitude, with a partnership, with a long to connect, to share what you've given us, to help advance the kingdom of God. And we say together, amen, amen. God bless you. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. If you need directions to a small group, there's pamphlets in the very back there. We got small group right here at the very front. We got some more. If you need directions, phone numbers, small groups, we got some right here along the very front. You can pick these up right here in my hand. Places that small groups are meeting. I'll put them on the altar. You can come pick one up. Jesus.